to Reading Glasses, a show about book culture and literary life designed to help you read better. I'm author and book devourer Mallory O'Mara.
And I'm Bria Grant, filmmaker and e-reader. This episode, we're solving your bookish friend problems. We got a few.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we test out a magnetic book ribbon and recommend some gay cowboy books.
But first, Bria, what are you reading?
Okay, we got a care package from Hello Comics, who I don't know if they're a sponsor this week, but they are a sponsor of the show. So I'll just let you know, they're a sponsor of the show, but they also picked out comics they thought we would like and sent them to us, which I was like...
It was like, it felt like a little angel floated down from the heavens and was like, here's some comics.
Comics I love. So I read the cutest comic called Fangs by Sarah Anderson.
It's so good.
I had never read this. It came out in 2020. It's a short little comic and y'all can get through this in 20 minutes. But it's all written and drawn by her, by Sarah Anderson. And it's about this vampire who meets her ultimate love match, which is a werewolf. Mm-hmm. And it's just like little things about them together where, like, you know, they're going on a walk and like the vampire has to carry an umbrella everywhere she goes, or like they, you know, the werewolf goes to kiss her, but he accidentally ate garlic. And it's just like how cute their little relationship is. It's very just like
it's
a gothic little art
slice of
book.
Life. Yeah.
Yeah. It's adorable. It was the one they wrote me a little note that said, we really like Fangs. We think you would like that one.
Yeah.
So
they were
I picked it up. And they were right. And I loved it. And it's adorable. Again, like a fun little afternoon read. A perfect gift for like your goth friend.
Yes.
This is literally the perfect gift. What are you reading, Mallory?
Oh, Bria, I stayed up late last night to finish this book. And it was worth every second of it.
Okay.
It's the new Ton of French.
I've
been so looking forward to it. Such a huge Ton of French fan. It just came out. It's called The Hunter. And I did not know, maybe also because I don't like to read anything about books before I read them, this is a sequel.
Oh, to what?
To her last book, which is The Searcher. But the thing is, it's one of those things where it's kind of like a romance series where you can read this one on your own if you want to, but it is enhanced if you've read the previous book.
Oh, great.
But it takes place where the last book left off. It's about this very small Irish town. There's this man. He's from Chicago. He's an ex-cop. He moved there. He just randomly picked a town where he could find a cheap house, retired there. And like the events of the first book are pretty intense. But the end of it is that he's settled in the town. There's this sort of fatherless teenage hooligan that he's become really close with and like kind of taken under his wing and, you know, got her on the right track. And he's like, he's been teaching her how to repair furniture and she's doing well in school and he's dating this woman in the village and everything is like great. And then all of a sudden, her good for nothing, crappy, absent father who's been gone for very many years comes back to town. He already is very mad about this and so is the girl that he's been taking care of. But of course, the father is not back because he wants to see his family that he's abandoned. He's back because he has a get rich quick scheme that he wants to get everybody into. But it, like the way that Ton of French writes, it's like this book is like an intricate clock. Because at first you think you're like mad because he's playing the town and then you think the town is playing him and then you think he's playing the town. And there's all these layers.
Oh, I love that.
And like the scheme has brought to light all these like small town secrets and all like... Everybody in the situation has a different agenda and things that they want to do and things that they're lying about and things they don't want people to know. It's like the ultimate small town secret book.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just like, you never know what's going to happen.
Oh, I love it.
It is so fucking good. So again, if you were a small town secrets person, you got to be reading this. So that's The Hunter by Ton of French.
And mine is Fangs by Sarah Anderson.
So we want to take a moment to share some listener feedback and thank you. The Maximum Fun Drive is over.
Yes.
Bria and I did so much stuff. We're so excited. We got so many new glassers. It really warmed our hearts. And we did get some feedback. So we wanted to read some
really sweet stuff
that new Maximum Fun members said.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you to everybody who joined. It really, really means a lot to us. If you are listening to this now and you're like, oh, I missed it. I missed those two episodes. I've been swirling around in a tornado with a cow for the past couple of weeks and I just landed in a field and I missed all of it. You can still join. You can go to MaximumFun.org/join to sign up. It won't count towards our goals, but it will count towards our hearts.
Yeah, of course.
So Ruby joined and said, hi, Bria and Mallory. I'm so excited to have officially joined the Glassers family. You guys have truly sparked my love for reading again. I'm a veterinarian, so through school and shortly after, I was barely reading a book or two a year. I can't wait to start connecting with fellow bookworms. Somehow, not a lot of readers in the veterinary field.
Surprises me.
Thank you, Ruby. We appreciate you so much.
Aleda joined and said, "Hi, Mallory and Bria. At some point, I will probably write a longer email, but I joined Maximum Fun because I started listening to your podcast last summer, and it was the final giant push I needed to fully get out of a 19-year, graduate school-inspired book slump." Wow, 19 years!
That's how strong we are. We can pull you out of the deepest slumps.
Bring us your darkest book slumps.
It's Bria and I holding a book, and instead of a torch, it's just another book, and we're like, bring us your huddled masses. What is it?
You're poor, you're tired.
You're slumped.
We
got you. Aleda, thank you so much. And Danny wrote in to say, "Hi, Mallory and Bria. First, I love your podcast so much that I'll sometimes re-listen to past episodes when I've run out of new ones." And remember, you get 7 years worth of new ones if you sign up for Maximum Fun.
Mm-hmm.
"I wanted to share something I tried recently that turned out to be a great experience. On a Friday evening, I made a reservation for a local hidden speakeasy. It was such a chill and soothing experience. I read my book for a couple hours while listening to soft music, having a couple fancy drinks, and with the lights low, I decided I'm going to make this a regular thing to take my book on a date to the speakeasy, definitely on my husband's poker night."
Nice.
Bria, what is Danny's wheelhouse?
Danny's still working on their wheelhouse, but some of the items right now include narrative, historical, nonfiction, especially in micro histories. Narrative, historical, nonfiction. Narrative nonfiction is what we've been calling, like, I just said, like everyone on the show knew what I was talking about.
But the thing is, they probably do.
We are always talking about like self-insertion nonfiction or micro histories, but I like narrative nonfiction.
Well, narrative nonfiction can just be a history that kind of follows one person or tells, but I like it for like a self-insert narrative nonfiction would be like ultra narrative.
Yeah. Books about epidemiology and the history of disease, fiction where death is personified, dark academia, and cozy fantasy and cozy horror. It does exist.
Love it. So you can email us at readingglassespodcast@gmail.com if you want a list of all the books we talk about on the show delivered to your inbox every month. You can sign up for our newsletter. There's a link in the show notes. And again, as a quick bookmark, we want to thank everyone who joined during the Maximum Fun Drive. Some of the things we do during the Maximum Fun Drive are through Maximum Fun, like all the BOCO that Maximum Fun sends that to you. The Slack channel, that's through us. So if you signed up and you're like, I didn't get an invite to the Slack, you have to email us at readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. Send us your Maximum Fun receipt and we will send you an invitation to the Slack, which has almost 1,000 people in it, Bria.
Wow.
It is incredible.
That is amazing.
It is bumping in there.
And I have a quick bookmark. If you happen to be in the New Orleans area, I have a short film that's playing at the Overlook Film Festival, if you want to come. It is part of the Rise and Grind Shorts programming. It is playing on Friday at 4:30 as part of the Shorts programming, meaning tomorrow, and Sunday, so on the weekend at noon, part of the Shorts programming, Rise and Grind. You can get tickets, I believe, online. You can buy it just for individual if you don't want to buy for the whole weekend. Although I think you should buy it for the whole weekend. Come watch a bunch of cool genre movies. But if not, if you are in the New Orleans area, I would love to see you. I will be there with my new short. So come on.
Hell yeah. So before we solve your bookish friend problems, we're going to take a quick break.
Reading Glasses is brought to you in part this week by Factor. All of Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are chef crafted and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Protein Plus and Vegan and Veggie, plus more than 60 add-ons every week to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. Here's the thing. Are you looking for gourmet meals? Do you want something delicious to eat every night? You can try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. And you can customize your weekly meals with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. And hey, they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. You know you don't have time. You're like me. I don't have time to think about what I'm going to eat. I love something like this that shows up. It's ready to eat. There's stuff for me. I am a picky eater. I have a lot of dietary requirements. But hey, they have vegan stuff. They have veggie stuff. They have stuff that will fit every lifestyle. So head to factormeals.com/glasses50 and use code glasses50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. Yo, that's a lot. 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box. That's code glasses50 at factormeals.com/glasses50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Glasses.
From the twisted minds that brought you The Adventure Zone, Balance
and Amnesty and Graduation and Ethersea and Steeplechase and Outrespace and all the other ones. The McElroy brothers and dad are proud to reveal a bold vision for the future of actual play podcasting. It's called The Adventure Zone versus Dracula.
Yeah, we're going to kill Dracula's ass.
We haven't recorded all of it yet. We will attempt to kill Dracula's ass.
The Adventure Zone versus Dracula.
Yes, a season I will be running using the D&D 5th edition rule set. And there's two episodes out for you to listen to right now. We hope you will join us. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Bats. I see what you did there.
This week, we all love having friends. But we really love having reader friends.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Pals you can talk about books with. Sometimes, though, having these friends means you get very specific reader friend problems. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. We got your back. We will save your bookish friendships. Today's episode was inspired by the piles of emails we get about bookish friends. So we picked a few that felt relatable. All right, Bria, this is by Abraham. You want to read his email to us?
I love your show more than you can imagine. It got rid of my book guilt and helped me grow as a fantasy nerd, fan fiction writer, and a general reader. That said, I have a problem. My only other friend is sadly a book snob, aka a trash baby. He grew up in an environment where the only books considered real reading are classics and maybe some literary fiction books. They must be critically acclaimed with lots of awards. He won't read YA or genre fiction, but he claims he likes fantasy because of D&D and wants to broaden his reading horizons. What should I do knowing that he's the only friend I have who reads and I would really like to help him break the mental barriers put in him by a lousy educational system?
Well, first off, I want to say I have absolutely incredible follow-up to this after we solve this problem. But first off, so Bria, what do we think? What should he do to help his friend?
Well, I think it's great that you have this friend. I think, first of all, lead by example. Okay. I think the books that you like, the books that he sees you reading, these fun fantasy books, and then he wants to read them as well. I think that is really important. I think there's a lot of really good gateway fantasy. And I would definitely lean into fantasy for D&D. Like, find stuff that has, you know, orcs and rogues and, you know, wizards and shit like that.
Motley crews of people going
Motley
out on crews, adventures.
Yes. And there's definitely some literary fantasy. Like, I would think of a literary fantasy that is going to, like, fit into his wheelhouse.
I was going to say that Marlon James book, Black Leopard, Red Wolf.
Right.
It's a finalist for the National Book Award. Yes.
Something like that, I think, could be great. Just so you know, there is no need for him to change what he's reading if that's what he's happy doing. I'm just saying this generally for people who are listening. But if he does, I think, like, yeah, like, you guys should find things that you can read together that you might like. Maybe you tried something new together at the same time, so it's not just you being like, here's all my fantasy books, here's all my YA books. Like, find something you agree on and read at the same time. So I was thinking also maybe like the biography of the guy who created D&D. I listened to like half of it and then it went back to the library and I never finished it. I can't think what it's called.
Gary Gygax is his name, right?
Dang. It was like a deep dive kind of micro history about D&D that came out. Anyway, but something like that. And like, there are people who do really like classics. I love classics. But I think as long as he's not shaming you, this is very kind of you to do. And I think finding that book that's going to be sort of the gateway book. Again, I think also maybe reading it together could be fun.
Yeah.
So instead of it's like you're throwing a bunch of books at him, it may be a little less intimidating for him if it's like, hey, why don't we read this one together? This got nominated for a National Book
Big,
Award.
I can show you the world energy.
Yeah, there you go.
But they're riding on a book through the clouds.
Yeah. Like, this was nominated for a National Book Award, but it does have fairies in it or something.
Yeah.
You know, what's your advice to Abraham?
I mean, this is tough. I think this is very relatable. I think a lot of readers have this problem. We always have that one friend. And I think it's very important to recognize that, like, a lot of people, some people are just trashy, trash babies, book snobs because they want to be. But a lot of people, you know, our educational system, like Abraham said, like, tells us that these books aren't. There's a lot of teachers and librarians out there that have been taught that graphic novels aren't real books and genre books aren't real books. So, like, instead of being like, you're a piece of shit, why are you saying that? Like, it's important to be like, and I really think that he has the right approach to this, to be like, hey, he grew up in this lousy educational system that doesn't value the other books. He knows it's not a reflection on his friend, but, and it's, you know, I think it's great that his friend is like, oh, I want to be where the people are. I want to read that fantasy. And we got to, you know, one thing that causes the most friction between bookish friends is having different tastes and opinions and thinking that your book is the best or that your genre is the best. And so much of these prejudices are so ingrained in us, especially if we're taught, like, we just don't realize it until they start coming out of our mouths and we're like, that's not me. That was my fourth grade teacher as she was yelling at me for reading a comic. Mm-hmm. So just try to keep that in mind. I do think there's hope. And like you said, he's not forcing him onto this. His friend is interested. The literary fantasy is a great thing. I do think with some friends, and what do you think about this, Bria? I think that with some friends, especially people who are kind of unknowingly parroting things that they grew up hearing, I think it's okay to be a little, maybe not pushy, but like ask people questions. Be like, oh, okay, well, what is the difference between books that you think are worthy and not worthy? Like, what makes
that
book worth reading?
Open. Like, yeah. I think, like, let's not push the friends that are already opening
the
door.
I mean people who
generally
are,
in life. Yeah.
I mean friends who are saying stuff like this, and maybe it's making you feel
a
little bad.
Listen, it's nobody's job to change anyone's mind, but I think if you want to have that conversation with somebody, I think it's fine to have that conversation.
This is more for, like, imagine you're someone in an office and you have a coworker who reads and they're always, like, looking down their nose at what you're
reading.
Right,
right. And the question is, like, who decided that those were the important books, you know?
Yes.
Who decided that? And maybe, like, reflect on why they're all, you know, centered around a very particular culture, a lot of particular time period, you know, like the books that you think are important.
Yeah.
The classics.
So I think my recommendation is always, like, for friends who are not, like, this listener's friend and who are more of a trash baby, I think it's always okay to very non-confrontationally be like, oh, why is that?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that? But I agree with you. I think the best way to get a friend into something is to be enthusiastic about it yourself. Mm-hmm. Because then other people are like, well, they're having fun. I want to have fun.
Yeah.
You know, keep talking. Just keep on.
Read by example.
Yes, read by example. Keep on talking to him about books that you're reading that you're loving. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him read.
And the truth is, like, a lot of those books, I mean, there is magical realism in a lot of those books. There's, I mean, Catcher in the Rye is a YA book. Like, you know, if you actually, like, interrogate, like, think about, like, the categorization of things. And look, not every book I read is destined to be a classic. And I will totally admit that it is just designed just for me and just for right now.
Just to have a fun.
Okay too. Yeah.
Are you ready for the best follow-up we've ever
done?
Okay,
so we already wrote follow-up.
Yes.
Wow.
Before we even...
Okay, great. Wonderful. Let's do it.
Abraham doesn't know that we're doing this episode.
Okay, great.
He emailed us to say, Dear Brian Mallory, this is an update. First and foremost, I'm from Egypt where the reading scene is not exactly thriving. Anyhow, I told my friend that I wrote to you guys about his book snobbery. He was so excited that I cared enough that he kissed me and I kissed him back. And bam, reading glasses. I got me a boyfriend that I never in 100 years would have thought to ask out.
Wow.
We went on our first date 2 days ago to a bookstore, obviously. He bought me Stardust by Neil Gaiman and The Importance of Being Earnest by Oscar Wilde. And I bought him The House of Seven Gables by Nathaniel Hawthorne.
Oh,
thank
lovely.
You again for making the podcast and for being your awesome selves.
Wow.
I screamed when we got this email.
Wow. Listen.
You can turn a book snob into a boyfriend.
Into a boyfriend. The moral is write a podcast about your friend and that friend may become your boyfriend.
I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I love that. That's so cute.
I know.
Wow. He doesn't need our advice. So.
I know. Clearly he's doing great on his own. He should be giving us advice.
Exactly.
Anyway, we're so happy for you two. But we still wanted to answer this because, again, I think this is something that a lot of people go through.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next one is from Cass, who says, Hello, Reading Glasses. Thanks for all your great recommendations and ways to live my best reading life. I recently got back into reading and have found certain wheelhouses and doorways that I can devour with ease. However, when I mention my love of reading to friends that also like to read, they tend to recommend books they love or are reading. Often, they lend or gift me these books to read. Unfortunately, their taste is usually different from mine, and I end up drudging through a book I'm not excited about or DNFing now that I know it's okay. You're welcome. What else do I do when they ask me how I like the book or offer me another one? Especially if it's sitting 1/6 finished on my bookshelf. I don't want to offend or alienate other bookworms, but I also have a TBR list that I'd rather be working on. Bria, this is another very relatable.
Relatable. And I feel like we've talked about this before. I think this happens quite a bit. I have to say, it happens so much that you shouldn't feel bad.
Yep.
Because people ask us this question a lot. I think just say exactly how you ended this. You have a TBR list that you're working on.
Yep.
You have a goal here. If I was like, hey, can you give me a ride to this place? And you're like, I'm going this other direction. I'd be like, why don't you give me a ride there? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is a different, you're like, I'm already on this road, you know?
I'm on the book bus in another direction.
In another direction, just say, oh man, my TBR list, it is so long right now, even though it's probably long all the time, but you can say, it's so long, I don't think I'm ever going to get to this. You should just take this book back. And they will be like, oh, okay. And you can say this wasn't for me right now or whatever, but in the future, don't take any more books from these people.
Nope.
Don't take those books.
Nope.
Gifts.
Karate chop them right out of their hand. No.
Gifts you have to take. you just open them, put those right on your shelf, or put them directly
right in a little,
into the
little free library.
A little free library. But the lending ones, just like, say, look, I have a shelf full of books, but I want to hear about this book. Tell me about it. Like, yeah, you know, you can have a nice conversation about a book without reading it. And you can probably bring up a book you've read in response. Like, there's probably a
Bria,
conversation to be had.
Bria tells her husband every day all the books that she's reading.
All the
he
time.
Doesn't read any of them, and they're happy as hell.
100%. What do you want to say to Cass?
I think it's important to remember that this comes from a place of excitement and caring.
Yeah.
I think that this is a lot of, this is how people try to connect with other people. Readers love to talk about books.
Right.
Love to share their enthusiasm. But that can often come across in the form of, I read this, now you have to read this.
Because
I want you to read it and talk to you, you to talk to me about it. But I agree with you. Stuff like that, you just got to karate chop. No,
mm-hmm,
no.
Mm-hmm.
Cut it off immediately. You don't read it at all. I think, Cass, you do not, because this, it's like a used car sales, or I guess a used car salesman, don't come to your house. Encyclopedia salesperson.
Okay.
Like the second, if you let them in your house, there, it's hard to get out.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Like you don't read it at all. When someone brings you a book they want you to read, you turn it down and say like, hey, my TBR is really packed right now.
Mm-hmm.
It is a project that I'm trying to work on whittling down my TBR. This reminds people that you are your own person. You have your own reading life.
Mm-hmm.
You have your own things that you're doing. I think people just get so excited they want to talk to you about books that they like don't remember that you're also reading your own books. You should be like, oh, how about you read this one instead? And then they'd be like, oh. Like sometimes people just forget.
Yeah, of course.
Like that you're not an NPC in their world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, or a reader play, not a non-reader character. Same thing if they just give it, if they are trying to force it on you, what, like if you feel compelled to take it, just whenever they ask, be like, oh no, I'm working on my own TBR. Like that's their own problem. Like it is not your responsibility.
Yeah.
Like they are trying to give you a responsibility. Don't take it.
You don't have to take that book.
No, if someone gives it to you, just give it away.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I feel like. Listen, if someone is like, just giving it to you, or if they're like, you should take this book, I loved it, you'd be like, okay. And like, you can always take that and also give it away. I had a friend recently lend me a book, and he was like, this is for reading or for giving away, I don't care. And I was like, great.
Yeah.
That's a really wonderful way to give me a book.
But I've also had friends, like, you can tell your friend, you could keep it for a week, give it, not read it, give it back to them, and be like, yeah, it's not my thing. Like,
yeah.
I had a friend who borrowed a book of mine and gave it back to me like a month later. And I was like, oh, what'd you think? And she was like, I didn't like it. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, it didn't bother me. I was not upset by it. I was just like, all right, whatever. Like,
I do think some people will get upset by that, though. Because I think if they're so excited and they're giving you a book, they're like, you got to read this. Take it. You know, I do think people get upset about
that.
Well,
then they need to check themselves before they are wrecking themselves.
Before
right
they
now.
Recommend them this book.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Exactly.
I just think that's so, it's just very unfair.
Yeah.
And okay. But again, I don't think people are thinking that it's unfair. They're just excited. And what they need to come down from that excitement and be like, oh, other people have their own lives and their own time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just chop that karate chop.
Karate chop.
Bria, you want to read the last one?
Uh-huh. From Aaron, hello, Bria and Mallory. I have a question that I feel you and the other Glassers can help me with. A close friend that I've known since elementary school is in the process of publishing her debut novel. I have read a recent draft and think it is stunning. However, while reading, sometimes her true voice comes through so strongly that it catapults me out of the book. There are phrases that would seem normal to the average reader, but because I know her well, I can only read it in her voice. Does this ever happen with books of authors you know well, and do you have any ideas for how to move past it?
Bria, I think this is a feature, not a bug. This happens to us all the
time. Can you explain this a little better to me? Because is this because it's hard to read because how her friend talks?
She's like taking out of the story because now she's not reading a book anymore.
She's listening reminded to her friend tell a story. So it's not like your friend is emulating something where she's like, you would never say that. It's more that she sounds exactly like herself.
Yes.
Okay.
It would be if, well, I was going to say, you read my books all the time.
That's true.
But I write nonfiction, so I guess it's different. But it would be like, you know, she just, you, like some turn of phrase that is so you.
I use the word trash baby in a script and you're like, this is a Bria.
Yeah. All of a sudden you're not watching the movie anymore. You're like, oh, I'm like, you're seeing behind the scenes.
Got
again,
it.
I think this is a feature, not a bug. It happens to us all the time. Mm-hmm. We have a ton of author friends. One in particular always uses his friends' names in his books. And it immediately reminds me of who is writing that book. It's Paul Tremblay.
Oh yeah.
And I love it. I lean into it. You know, I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. My friend Paul wrote this and he's fucking great and we love him. Like, use that moment of being bumped out of the story to be like, wow, my friend is great. I love them. And then take you, like, because if you try to fight it, it's going to take you out more. Just take a moment to be like, wow, I'm friends with this author. That's cool.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think so too. I have this problem when sometimes I'm watching someone's movie and like someone who's acting and the actor starts doing something that I'm like, oh, that's like something they do, not yeah. something this character does. And I'm seeing them as the person, not the actor. But listen, you may not be the target audience also for this. I mean, you are because mm-hmm. it's your friend. But I think just knowing that this is your friend's art and you can be a supportive friend by showing up, going to a signing, reading the book, telling them you like the book, which mm-hmm. is sounds like it's true. So that's wonderful. Wow, you're already way ahead of a lot of people because sometimes yep. you read friends' books and you don't like them. Mm-hmm. I think there's a way to be a good friend, and that's the most important thing. So, like, if the book, you may not be the audience because it may take you out of the book, but that's okay.
That's okay.
You know, like, that's okay. I think the audience, but you know that you like the book and you can be a supportive friend, which is the most important thing here.
Yeah, and we all love knowing cool people.
Exactly. So. You know an author whose book you can support 100% and you think they're great.
Yeah, turn that moment to like, oh, wow, I have cool friends. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. We would love follow-up on all of these, but if you have any thoughts on bookish friend problems or solutions, send them to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. Before we review a magnetic ribbon bookmark, we're going to take a quick break.
Reading Glasses is brought to you in part this week by Dipsy, enemies to lovers. Chance encounters, a slow burn, or friends become something more. Y'all know you love it. Whatever your favorite romance trope is, Dipsy has a spicy audio story just for you. Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, spicy audio stories, and they bring scenarios to life with an immersive soundscape and realistic characters. Discover stories about second chance romances, adventurous vacation flings, and hot and heavy hookups. And y'all, Dipsy is on the cutting edge here. There's a library that they, in their library, they have fantasy series with werewolves, Greek gods, goddesses, Regency era historical fiction. I know y'all want that. And wait for it. Fairy smut. That's right. They have fairy smut and they will help you explore the bounds of your pleasure. Listen, Dipsy, you know, we love Dipsy. They have beautifully produced spicy stories. It's not just about pleasure. It's also about these great narratives. They're going to leave you breathless. It's going to be beautiful. New content is released every week. So in between listening to your favorite stories again and again, you can always find something new to explore. So for listeners of this show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/glasses. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsystories.com/glasses. dipsystories.com/glasses. Glasses.
Thanks to everyone who contributed during this year's Max Fun Drive. We truly couldn't do what we do without you. With the drive in the rear view, it's time for another proud tradition, our annual charity pin sale. This year, the proceeds for the pin sale will support Vote Riders, a nonprofit dedicated to expanding ballot access nationwide. Members at $10 a month or more can purchase Max Fun Drive pins featuring shows from across the network, and all members are able to buy our network pin design, exclusive to this charity sale. The sale is live now, and it ends Friday, April 12th. For more info, head to MaximumFun.org/pinsale. And thanks again for your support.
Time to look at some book tech, advances in bookish technology. Today, we are reviewing a magnetic bookmark made by Superior Essentials, the same brand as my book weight, so you know it's quality stuff. It's less than 10 bucks. It consists of a long ribbon attached to this little magnetic clamp that's about as long as your thumb. So you slide the back cover of your book into the clamp, and then voila, you have a ribbon bookmark that is sticking out to use. Bria, what did you think of this as a person who does not use a lot of bookmarks?
I don't use a lot of bookmarks. I had it on my couch, and I was sitting there with it, and let me tell you, great cat toy. The cats lost their mind. They're like, yes. This, which end do I want? It's gone. I don't know. I hope you didn't want it back, because I don't know where it is. The cats took it. They love it. Okay, I'm kind of surprised it was $10, though. Can I just say that?
Less than $10. I think it's like $8.99 or $7.99.
$8.99 seems okay. So it is just a magnet on the end of a ribbon. I'm just saying.
I wouldn't take the time to make that.
Okay, that's true. That's true. All right. But $10, I actually would say too much.
Too much.
$8? Okay, fine.
Bria's haggling with the bookmark dealer.
But I thought is cute, and I think it could be very beneficial. Again, I don't ever use bookmarks, rarely, but it could be beneficial, especially for not just like a long-term thing, like you're reading like a big, heavy book. It kind of feels like something you'd read with like a tome.
Yes.
You know, like
if you were a wizard,
this is the perfect bookmark for you in that. But I thought it was very cute. Again, it's gone. Perfect cat. 5 out of 5 pages for cat toys.
5 out of 5 paws.
Yeah, listen, BB loves it. It's gone. It has been taken underneath the couch and we will never see it again. What did you think of it?
I love this. I am a big bookmark person, but I'm not a big ribbon bookmark
not
person.
Not stiff enough. Not hardy enough. Not density is bad. Not, you know what I mean.
I don't know. I'm not into ribbons. I don't know why.
What about do you like ribbons generally in life?
Like, I don't get a president. I'm like, take this away.
I don't want to see this. Or you know those people in the Olympics who like do the same with the ribbons? Turn it off. Turn it off.
I can't watch.
Wait, but why? What is it you have against ribbons?
I don't know. I think maybe that's what it is. It's like
not dense.
Yeah, and it just, I don't know.
I actually think it could have a long shelf life though. Like I think it has shelf life. I think it has a, you know. It's not going to fall apart. It's actually pretty hardy.
It is. And what I like about it is that the end of it is capped with rubber so the ribbon can't fray. I think maybe I just don't like it sticking out the bottom. Maybe that's why I don't like ribbon bookmarks. Mm. I like it to stay in its place.
No bottom tails. No tails on books.
I don't want a book with a tail. Yeah, maybe that's what I don't like about it. But I did like this one for what it is. It's very easy to set up. Mm-hmm. The magnet is pretty strong.
Mm-hmm. It was strong, yeah.
I wouldn't worry about it falling off. And the thing is, I do like fiddling with the ribbon while I read.
No, that's fine.
I like fiddling. Like all ribbon bookmarks, like you said, biggest drawback is how badly Lula wanted to eat this.
Yeah.
Oh, she wanted this so bad. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which is funny because I was like, no, this is for Bria. And then your cats took it.
Yeah.
But if you do like having a ribbon bookmark, I would highly recommend this one. It's very hardy, very easy to use. 5 out of 5 pages. We did talk about reader feedback someone sent in about washi taping a ribbon to the back of your book. Mm-hmm. If you were interested in doing that and like having the same ribbon for each one, this might be even better because you don't have to tape and untape anything and it's much hardier.
That's true. That's true. Mallory, I'm adding a bunch of ribbon bookmarks to our wish list.
I think that's what it is though. I think I don't like something hanging out of the bottom of a book. But this one again, I really did like it, and it's pretty long, so I did test this out in a very big book, so you know, even if you're right at the beginning of a very big book, you're still gonna have enough ribbon to work with here. Mm-hmm. So we'll put a link in the show notes to this. 5 out of 5 pages for me. How many pages? What'd you say?
I'm gonna say 5 out of 5, like just based on cats alone.
So if you have ideas for book tech that you want us to test out, send it to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com, or you can check out our wish list in the show notes. Now let's answer a recommendation request from Will. Will says, hi, both. After not reading anything for a decade, I finally got back into reading during COVID. A few months ago, I found your podcast, and it's definitely helping to keep the book enthusiasm high. In the past couple months, I've powered through half your old episodes, and I'm now listening to the new ones as they come out while I get through the backlog. I just wanted to share my two main wheelhouses, retro alternative now sci-fi and gay cowboy novels that aren't romance. Gotta be MLM. Nothing against the genre, I just want more plot that isn't focused on relationships. The latter is incredibly hard to find, especially literary stuff, so I'd love to get some recommendations if you have any. I would be accepting of a romance novel if it was more heavily plot-driven and without the erotica, kind of like Brokeback Mountain. Perhaps this is something I could ask a librarian, but it's a little embarrassing. Bria, what do you think? Oh, I'm glad this is a good rec.
First, don't be embarrassed to ask a librarian.
Yes.
They know about this, and I guarantee you they get more embarrassing questions than this.
I was going to say, I feel like it's more embarrassing to be like, hey, can I have a gay cowboy book that's full of smut?
Yeah. But
it's way less embarrassing to be like, can I have a gay cowboy book where they're gently touching hands? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Way less embarrassing.
I wish you'd ask for a retro alternative now sci-fi because I want to dive into that because I don't even know what that is. I like it. I like the idea. I'm going to think, I can't remember how much like MLM stuff there is in this one, but it's River of Teeth by Sarah Gailey.
And most of the group in that is queer.
I think they're all queer.
There's one non-binary. There's one who had him. I'm pretty sure there's a she, her.
So
it's pretty, it's like a good, good group.
It's definitely, it's a queer group. I just can't remember. I can't remember if there's any hand holding or any.
Oh, there's
like
there's
that.
Only one bed situation.
There's only, oh yeah. There's an, anyway,
thank
it's an alternative.
Thank you, Sarah Gailey.
Yeah.
But it is, it's exactly what Will's looking for. It's much more plot focused.
It is alternative historical fiction with queer main characters, and everyone rides on hippos instead of horses. And there's several of them, or at least two, and I know that is a weird pitch, but it actually is, like, very plot-driven.
Yeah, it's great.
And
so good.
The world is kind of a fun sci-fi-ish sort of world. What do you have?
So my recommendation for this is Days Without End by Sebastian Barry. It has romance in it, but it's kind of like Brokeback Mountain with even less... Actually, well, I don't know. I guess it would... It's about the same amount of focus on romance, but it's, like, mainly the plot is, like, a big sweeping Western saga. And it's got these two soldiers. They're out on the plains in the 1850s, and, of course... They're both handsome. But it is like, it's very much a Western. It's not like, it has a romance subplot, but I would not call it a romance. And I do want to, again, say, ask your librarians anything. Mm-hmm. They have seen anything that you can show them. Being a librarian is like working in Las Vegas. Anything that you can throw them, they've already seen something weirder. And they can hook you up. I understand Will's frustration with this because there are so many gay cowboy romance novels. There's a bazillion of them. There's like, if you want to see a shirtless man with a cowboy hat, there's so many. So I understand, but there are a lot of great Westerns. So my mine's Days Without End by Sebastian Barry.
And mine is River of Teeth by Sarah Gailey.
If you want us to answer your recommendation request, send it to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. As always, we want to thank the wonderful mods who run our Facebook group. And remember, you can buy all kinds of cool totes, shirts, sweatshirts, tank tops, now that it's getting warmer in some parts of the world, not where I live, go to our Void Merch store. It directly supports us and our hungry animals. There's a link in the show notes. And if you like the show and you want to do something real nice for us that will cost you no money, please rate and review us on the podcast listening app of your choice. It is great for us and helps us reach more readers. You can email us at readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Instagram at readingglassespodcast. Thanks for listening and thanks for reading.
Maximum Fun.
A worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows.
Supported
directly
by you.